Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hey, welcome to Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. We're continuing our series on buying a home tonight with mortgage specialist Annette Fisher. Stay tuned for Bob.
Let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home. The good old Brooklyn. The folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you, I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn. You've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home. the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome, everyone, to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topic of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing. We have as our guest tonight Annette Fisher. Annette Fisher is a mortgage specialist specializing in reverse mortgage products. And Annette will be one of the several speakers we have in the series of shows dedicated to how to buy a home, live in a home comfortably, and maybe some considerations as to how to sell a home later on or stay in your home, depending on how your circumstances dictate. But in the interim, we do have Annette Fisher. Hello, Annette, and welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
We got you, Annette. Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
Good. Well, welcome to the show, and you're one of us many speakers, several speakers, on the topics of home buying and home keeping and home staying and home financing. And your area of expertise is reverse mortgages, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes, and maybe some a little news about what a reverse mortgage is, and are there any changes coming up, then segueing into potentially how to use a reverse mortgage to buy a home or to stay in a home. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about your credentials? We know you have a long history with reverse mortgages and with helping seniors, and I think that would be of interest to our audience.
Okay, thank you, Bob. I've worked in the mortgage industry for about 13 years and have specialized now in reverse mortgages for about 10 years, and it's been quite an adventure. There's been a lot of changes in reverse mortgages over the years. And I love helping the seniors. I'm a certified senior advisor as well. And so what that means is basically that I'm more in tune with some of the things that might go on in a senior's life, as well as when it comes to reverse mortgages, there are different things that could conflict possibly with doing a reverse mortgage or things that should be done in order as far as estate planning before necessarily going to the reverse mortgage. So because I am a certified senior advisor, I look at those areas, whereas a typical loan officer might not have that kind of knowledge, and therefore they're only looking at pure dollars and cents.
Annette, tell us briefly, what is the essence of a reverse mortgage?
Well, I think the thing that interests most people with them is that they don't have to make any monthly payments of principal and interest. And so what that really means, you know, people see the commercial on TV, and a lot of times it says no monthly payments. So it can be a little bit misleading, because if someone has a mortgage, sometimes their real estate taxes and their homeowner's insurance are included with their mortgage, and the bank or whoever the company is that's taking care of collecting those monies each month sometimes will require that. And so then the person thinks, well, when I get my reverse mortgage, you know, maybe I won't have to pay any of that. And so that's a little misleading, because you do have to still continue to pay your regular monthly taxes, pay the homeowner's insurance. And then if there's enough money to be able to get a reverse mortgage, you wouldn't need to make that monthly payment.
And how long have reverse mortgages been in existence?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, because there were and still are many people who might do as a private investor a reverse mortgage for someone. So it's hard to really put a date on that portion of it. But as far as the federal government is concerned, FHA, Federal Housing Administration, those programs all started in the mid-'80s, like 1986, and in the last probably 5-6 years have undergone significant changes. There was a lender at one point who is no longer doing reverse mortgages, Financial Freedom, and they were really, really big in the reverse mortgage industry, and they did a lot of the FHA loans, but they also were wholesalers for many of the banks in giving them the ability to then broker out to Financial Freedom, let's say jumbo loans, which, you know, back in the day prior to 2007, I remember writing jumbo loans on houses that were worth $5 million in New York City, and that is no more. Also, you know, the higher-end condos that were available through that program are no longer able to do reverse mortgages. And co-ops, we can't do co-ops anymore. So, you know, a lot has changed, and that's because Lehman Brothers, who was the backer for Financial Freedom for those types of loans, not the FHA loans, and we all know they went bankrupt, and so there's no more backer, and we've yet to have, you know, another lender or any other kind of investors come back to the market to back those types of reverse mortgages.
So reverse mortgages initially got their start as a way to give seniors some enjoyment of the equity that they had in their home. Is that correct?
True. And, you know, typically, especially if it's a family where the children are growing up, maybe, you know, or the grandchildren for that matter, and they've gotten educations that, you know, may have been paid for by family members such as parents and grandparents. So, you know, they had their opportunity to make a better living, and so now a lot of those children choose to say to their parents or grandparents, hey, you know, we have what we need. We're well off. You gave us that. You gave us a good start. And now, you know, you should be enjoying what you worked all of these years and paid for. And so those people end up putting reverse mortgages on the house, not just because they can, but also because they want to be able to stay near their families. They want to be able to enjoy some of that money with them now, whether it's do a family vacation or something. You leave people money down the road and or a house which turns into money. You know, sometimes it gets forgotten. It gets spent on other things, and you can't get those memories if you don't have the funds to do it. So sometimes, you know, the monies could be used for different things, whether it's that family trip. It could be used to maintain the house. Some people just, you know, they have the house. And the house when they bought it was, you know, $50,000 expense, and now that house is worth $1 million. However, the taxes have gone up significantly. So, you know, they've got to keep up with all of that, and to some people it's very important. You know, they could easily pick up and probably move somewhere else, most people would think, but it's not quite that simple. It's very stressful for anybody to move. If you've lived in a house more than 10 years and you start collecting things and then you have your friends and your memories and everything else, to just pick up and go somewhere else, you know, that's a difficult thing, and then that causes a lot of other problems because it's very overwhelming. It's very stressful. Many people, if they have to move, you know, it causes all sorts of ailments, whether, you know, they're getting strokes or heart attacks, and then they go somewhere else and they're lonely and they get depressed because they don't have friends. So, and they have to get new doctors and everything else. So sometimes doing the reverse mortgage is the right thing, and sometimes it's, you know, not necessarily the right thing.
And it seems like it gives seniors some ability or an option for stability. To be able to stay in their home without having to, and yes, you could move to another place, but that involves packing up, moving, reacclimating yourself, and it's a big change. Reverse mortgage could probably provide some stability in that area.
And the other thing, Bob, that a lot of people don't realize is that when you sell that house, if you bought it for $50,000, it's worth $1 million, well, you probably have some taxes now to pay on that. Whereas if the person inherited that, you know, house down the road, there's a good possibility, depending where the tax laws are in that particular year. I think right now if a person in New York has properties worth $1 million, is it correct that they wouldn't have to pay any tax on that probably,
correct.
Right?
They get it at a stepped-up basis, and I often joke with my estate clients that the only good thing about dying is you do escape some taxes, believe it or not. I wouldn't recommend that as a planning tool, but you do escape capital gains.
Right.
Government does get you on the estate tax end of it, but you do escape to capital gains. So,
exactly. So it's kind of like they do get to use that money somewhat tax-free. And that's another thing I want to bring up, because I see these TV commercials, and a lot of them say, oh, you know, it's tax-free money. Well, yes and no. It depends on, you know, in the end up, when you actually if a person sold the house and they had done a reverse mortgage and then they sell the house, let's say, or they, right, because we're talking reverse here, they could have to pay money on that as far as taxes are concerned, because maybe there's one person and they took the money out and now they're only getting the $1,250 gain, and so now they've got to pay taxes on the balance of it because they sold the house and they didn't pass away in the house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how to make that clear to the people, but this way, if they stay in the house and they use a reverse, the bottom line is that while they remain in that house, that could be tax-free money potentially. But if they took out a reverse and then 5 years later sold their house and still made a profit, you know, they might think, well, now I owe the bank, you know, $400 out of a $500,000 value, that, you know, it's only about the $100,000, but it's not. It's about all that money you gained that you took out with the reverse and you used it up now. So if you're going to do a reverse, what I'm basically saying is that I try to be very forthright and honest, and I think you know that. People should plan that that's where they're going to stay then, and they need to consider, you know, taxes in either direction when they're doing all of these things. It's kind of a long-haul decision. It's not that they can't sell their house, but I think they need to consider all of that.
Right. And I don't think some of the ads that we see on TV, some of those GERs really get into that nitty-gritty. They're just interested in making the deal. As you point
that,
out, there are a lot of ramifications.
Exactly.
But
there's a lot of good for it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
it does fit the bill for a lot of people.
Exactly.
You had mentioned earlier that reverse mortgage loans are undergoing change, and the companies, many companies are no longer offering them. Is that because of abuse, or it was too good of a deal? People are living longer, or is it mirroring the economic reality that sometimes, hey, real estate does go down in value, and you know, reverse mortgage based upon a theory that everything goes up, once the economy goes down, there's a whole new dynamic to that that ratio.
Right.
The market has shrunk or become tighter?
Well, I think a lot of it is all of the things you touched on. You know, the government doesn't want to be labeled as someone who's abusing seniors and taking their homes. And the reality is that if someone defaults on a reverse, and people listening may wonder, how could that be? How could they default if they don't have to make that payment? Remember, they still got to pay taxes and insurance. And what happens sometimes is that people will go out and they'll take out the reverse mortgage and they take all the money and they act as though they won a lottery, and their families sometimes think they won the lottery. And they quickly spend all that money in just a couple of years. You'll be amazed at how quick you can spend money. And then they can't pay the taxes and the insurance, and that becomes a big problem. So what the government has done is that they've turned around HUD, Housing and Urban Development. They write something called the Mortgagee Letter, which creates the guidelines for FHA mortgages. FHA is who's insuring the mortgage. And basically what they've done is that they've decreased the amount of money someone can get out when they're doing a reverse mortgage. So let's say someone's going online and they saw that, well, they have a $700,000 home and the limits were at $625,500 previously, and the limit is still there So they're probably wondering, well, what is she talking about? Because we just went online and we saw it's still a $625,500 limit. But what happens is that people get money out based upon not only the value of the home, it's based on the interest rate at the time and the person's age, the age of the youngest borrower. So in this case, what they did was they changed the formula that determines what percentage a person will get out, and basically they've lowered the amount that a person can get out, regardless of if they were the exact same age prior to, let's say, October 1st when these changes went into effect. They're going to get, if they could get $300 before, they're getting $265 now. So this brings in a big problem, especially here, because as interest rates over the years have come down, people who were living in their homes went out, they refinanced, they took money, they paid for the new car, they paid off the credit cards, they paid for the college tuitions, and now they've got big mortgages. And if they want to be able to qualify for the reverse, you know, they're going to have more equity, need to have more equity in their home now than they had before in order for them to be able to qualify. Another of the changes that has come about, and I don't know if it so much has to do with abuse, but they really want to make sure that people that get reverses mortgages can manage to stay in the house. They want to make sure that they could pay for that, you know, real estate tax, pay for the property insurance. So what they're doing is they're putting in, they're going to maybe call it an asset test. It's hard to say, but it reflects the same as a debt-to-income ratio on a regular mortgage. And this was tried by one of the insurance companies that had gotten into the reverse mortgage business a few years ago and had gotten very, very popular in that particular area. And they decided at that time, this was January 2011, I believe it was, they put in a asset test or debt-to-income ratio. And pretty much for that 30-day period, a very small percentage of people were able to qualify. And at that time, they were taking into consideration the real estate taxes, the homeowner's insurance, and they were using 14 cents per square foot as the energy bill factor. And when you added this all up, on the low end, if you were in one of the boroughs, maybe those expenses were about $650 a month. Well, an average person making maybe $1,600 a month in Social Security, because remember, people doing reverse mortgages, for the most part, are people who need that money. Well, if you took 40%, which was the debt-to-income ratio that they wanted, 40% or less, then the problem was that at $650, you're already over because 40% of 1,600 is 640, I believe. So right there, you're over by the $10. So unless they had other investments or something where they could show they had other income, they weren't going to qualify. Well, that was a private institution, private, you know. So if the 30 days, they saw it didn't work, they stopped it. Now our government has put in these new regulations. Understandably, we needed some regulations, but they're saying we're going to do probably all of that, and we're going to take into consideration what are the bills this person has. Maybe they have a car payment. Maybe they use their American Express card every month because they get rewards points so that, you know, they could do the holiday shopping hopefully for free. But the trouble is when you use an American Express card every single month, it becomes regular debt. So now you can't use it for a couple of months, because maybe it's going to knock your debt-to-income ratio out, but maybe you needed to use it and you're used to using it. You don't have extra money not to use it. Maybe you were putting all your food on there. Maybe they were putting the gas bill, whatever it was, on there. So now you can't use it, and you were just using it from month to month and then paying off the whole thing, but you don't have that extra $500 or $1,000 maybe. There are a lot of people like that. So my fear here is not, okay, we did this before, now we're doing it again. It's not just a question of changing their mind. If anyone thinks by, you know, the slimmest margin that they're going to need a reverse mortgage in the next year, let's say, and they think that they're close on what I'm talking about as far as these debt-to-income ratios, and if they're not quite sure, they can always call me. But the point is that the government takes longer to make changes. You know, they're not quick about anything. So whereas the private investment company, after 1 month, said, okay, this doesn't work, now you're going to have a more stringent formula than that formula. And because it's the government, who knows? Maybe it's 6 months. Maybe it's a year before they change it. Maybe they don't really want a lot of people to have reverse mortgages. And I think a lot of that is definitely realistic because we're getting more and more seniors. You know, the silver tsunami is beginning. And how can they afford to give out more and more and more and more? So basically they have to say, well, we have to come up with a formula where less people will qualify. So, you know, in my mind, I think that could be part of it, too. They haven't said that's definite, but it is a fact that, you know, there are so many more seniors coming of age 65. People are living longer, and there are a lot of ways in which if people could qualify, and are, especially if they're wealthy, there's a lot of ways where, you know, if someone didn't plan for, like, long-term care insurance, they could actually use a reverse mortgage as like an insurance policy, because if they don't need it, they could kind of do that set it and forget it kind of thing, you know, where they take it out. They're not paying any interest on what they leave in a line of credit. And yet what happens is when it is in that line of credit, it grows by whatever the average interest rate is, not to be confused at all with earning interest. You know, if I'll give another analogy. So let's say, for example, you had a $1,000 credit card and you pay it on time all the time. The bank likes you. So they say, okay, you can now borrow $1,500. So with a reverse mortgage, if you had a $200,000 line of credit, and let's say the interest rates went up to 6%, because the interest rates, let's face it, are very low, it could actually be in your favor, because if you weren't using that money for a while, let's say you took it as almost like having an insurance policy, and 10 years later, now you've got, you know, 6% maybe if it was on average 6, let's just say, and now 10 years later you could have as much as $300,000 in that account, if not more. And you know, if you don't have long-term care insurance, where are you getting the money from? Another thing that people don't realize is that when you're young enough to make decisions, sometimes it's better, because as you get older, you know, even if you have someone appointed as a power of attorney and you're doing a reverse mortgage, banks and the government don't treat these mortgages like any other mortgage. They're all afraid, as am I, of, you know, people preying on the senior, somebody forcing them to do it, et cetera. So there are a lot of things set up to make sure that things like that aren't happening. And when you come to a lender with a power of attorney for a reverse, first off, they want to know, well, is the borrower initially filling out the application? Are they competent? So they really want that borrower to fill out the application, even if you have a power of attorney. Now, let's say the person isn't competent. Well, now the lender wants a letter from the doctor saying that the person's not competent. Okay, you think that's simple. My doctor knows my mom has Alzheimer's. Well, they might know your mom has Alzheimer's, but they don't really know if you're going to steal your mom's money. So even though they know that, they're afraid a lot of times to sign the letter, because now it becomes a liability on them, because they said that mom is incompetent, they're afraid somebody might come back and say, well, if you didn't tell the bank that she was incompetent, they wouldn't have allowed him to exercise the right to use a power of attorney. So there are a lot of things set up. There's counseling that's set up for folks to go through and have to deal with, not to harass people, but basically to make sure that the senior is not taken advantage of.
And it is fairly well regulated, as you do point out. Annette, as we're coming to the end of the show, tell us, are there opportunities for reverse mortgages to buy properties?
Well, you could use it as a purchase program, and a lot of people don't realize that. So let's say someone were selling a, well, it's New York City, so selling a $600 to $1 million property, and they wanted to go somewhere else and purchase a property, they would probably have some money left in equity from their sale. And the way that a reverse purchase works is that you have to have enough equity to put down. So a bank is not going to do like an 80% or 90% usually, unless the person maybe were, you know, in their 90s, because the older you are, the more money you get. So basically what they do is they give a percentage. So it's similar to the refi, except that it's a purchase. And so, for example, let's say someone downsized and now they went to buy the $400,000 condo, which, by the way, now those condos have to be pre-FHA approved. But in any event, they went to buy the $400,000 condo or one family home, because that's the only two products where that will work. Now they're 62 years old, or let's say now they're 70 years old, and they had to put down probably in the neighborhood of around, they would get up to maybe 58% or so. So they might have to come up with like $180,000 or so. Again, it depends on what the interest rate is at the time, the exact age of the person, et cetera. But I think it gives you kind of the idea. They might have to come up with $180,000 down, and maybe they're going to get $220,000 from the lender. So they didn't have to use all of their money, and they were able to do a purchase. And the mistake that people make sometimes is that they'll go and do that purchase, but they do it with a regular mortgage. And then they realize a couple years down the road, oh, we could do a reverse refinance now. But you didn't have to wait, and you didn't have to pay two sets of closing costs. So you definitely can use a reverse to purchase on one family and pre-approved by FHA condo.
Very interesting. Annette, before we let you go, tell our audience a couple of contact spots for you if they want to follow up, get more information.
And sure. Okay, you can reach me at 718-968-5242, and you could also email me at Annette Fisher, that's A-N-N-E-T-T-E-F-I-S-H-E-R, at Brooklyn, spelled out B-R-O-O-K-L-Y-N, is I-S, home, H-O-M-E, .com. And that's because Brooklyn is home to me, and I've lived here for my entire life, except for 6 months here and there. But love Brooklyn, love New York City, and love helping seniors.
And Annette, it shows that you are a specialist in the reverse mortgage field, that it's changing, that in many ways it can help a senior. There are some safeguards so that seniors aren't taken advantage of, but it is a changing area. It's complex, and our audience should contact somebody like you should they be going, you know, in that direction. So we thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing your views with us.
Well, thank you, Bob, and if any of the seniors listening are looking, or their families are looking for other professionals who serve seniors, I'm happy to help with that. I do run a group called PESID, People Empowering Seniors' Independence and Dignity, and that's P-E-S-I-D. You could find the website at PESID.com. Membership is free, and we have all sorts of blog there and forum, job listings, perks, you name it. So, matter of fact, I think one of your perks is up there, Bob, for the wills and stuff that you do, and it's a great offer that you've got there.
Absolutely, and PESID is a great organization helping seniors, and that's really your hallmark in your business model is helping seniors. And oh, by the way, I also do reverse mortgages, but we appreciate that aspect of your business.
Right. Definitely I make my living at reverse mortgages. The rest is all truly just to help the seniors.
Yes. Thank you, Annette, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Bob. Be well. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. And, well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our program, and thanks to our guest, Annette Fisher. Annette Fisher is a reverse mortgage specialist, and she is on the show as part of our a multi-part series on buying a home, and part of Annette's discussion was the potential use of a reverse mortgage to buy a new home. So we appreciate her insights on that, her care and concern for the seniors, and her knowledge overall of the field of reverse mortgages. This is Howes New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.